What's the show called?
I'm going to tell you right now. Well, listen to this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Film Hustlers. We're coming to you live from, where are we at, David?
Hey, Long Grove, Illinois.
We're in Long Grove, Illinois, which is what, about 25 minutes outside of Chicago.
Yes, it is. Without traffic, yes.
So I want to welcome all of us. We got Tootie here.
How you doing?
We got Tootie, we got David Dave, and we've got a very special guest. Today we're talking to an assistant director coming from a long line of assistant directors.
First ADs. In the business, that's what they're known as, first AD.
First ADs, but that's an assistant director.
I know, but for our listeners, first AD.
Yeah, first AD.
You like to drop like abbreviations, you don't.
First of all, you're the one dropping an abbreviation. I'm telling them what it says.
Because I learned it from you. So first AD.
Let's start over, guys.
By the way, I had this guy's ear last night, yesterday. We were bombed, by the way. Great fucking.
Bombed means they were drunk.
We were wasted. David, I can't even talk. We started drinking at 11:30, hammered by one.
The first bloody went down at 11:30.
If you're tuning in, we have an assistant director, which is called an AD in production terms.
Yeah.
His name is Sam Haveland. He has a twin brother.
That's right. Very good.
That they call Fat Sam.
Oh, that's cold as ice. His brother's going to hear this.
Which is really funny.
Well, he called him.
Hey, bro, he showed a picture of him. He's actually Fat Sam.
Oh, bro, we were on FaceTime with him yesterday.
Poor guy was in bed. He was like, what the fuck?
Why are you calling me right now? We're like, to prove a point that you're Fat Sam.
Well, we were wasted at the Cubs game. Hey, look, Sam, there's your brother.
It's, it's only 3 a.m.
Everyone is listening going to think you're an alcoholic.
You know what? It's been a good 2 weeks, I'll tell you that. An amazing 2 weeks.
Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Everyone's very excited about listening to what people do in this business. We've never had an assistant director on the show.
No.
Okay, so this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Tootie insisted that you be on the show, so we want to talk about what is it that you think is so important about talking to an AD?
Our audience needs to know what a first AD is, Roberts.
Right.
You've been in the business 30 years. You're
way
probably
more
the same
than that,
age
buddy.
As some of our audience members. So why are you being a wise guy?
Let's talk about it.
But more importantly, Sam's stories are incredible. He actually worked in one of my favorite movies.
What is it?
Goodfellas.
That would be amazing, too.
You worked on Goodfellas?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
He knows the movie. We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Well, I can't remember which movie it was, though. What was it? Oh, yeah, I got it.
What was it? What was the name of the movie?
In Bruges.
Oh, wow. I never heard of that. You've worked on some other big popular movies, right? Name some of the stuff you've worked on.
Snow White and the Huntsman, Edge of Tomorrow, Alexander, In Bruges, Maleficent.
Oh, wow. Maleficent, right.
Two Harry Potters.
Pirates
of the Caribbean 5.
Jesus.
So hang on, Sam.
Got Alexander.
You did Alexander. So hang on, Sam. So I've known you since 2020, and I'm trying to think, like, where did those shoot at? Like, where would you shoot them at?
That was all shot in London. Well, no, Alexander was shot in Marrakesh. I was on the second unit just for the Battle of Gorgomela. So we went out there 2004. I think we were out there for 8 or 9 weeks just doing battle, just the battle. That's all I did, second unit. We had blood. We had super soakers full of blood. We had horses. We had phalanx. We did VFX shots. We saw the sunrise and sunset over the Atlas Mountains every day.
Wow.
Mm. In Marrakesh.
But wait a minute. So if we met in 2020 and we met in Carson City. Where were you? When did you come to the United States?
I came to the States 12 years ago, 11 and a half years ago. So 2013. I moved here. I just finished. I was working on Edge of Tomorrow at Leafson Studios, north of London. And we had a one-month hiatus. So I came to Mexico, or went to Mexico for my one-month hiatus, and met my now wife on the dance floor.
Oh, wow.
New Year's Eve. Went back to London, finished the movie, and then I finished out on the Friday, came here the Monday, and I never went back.
That's amazing.
Wow.
So really important, before this fool starts saying stuff, what does an AD do? Like, for people listening, what is the job description? Like, what do you feel is important for people to know about an assistant director?
So an assistant director starts with the breaking down of the script. You're pulling out all the elements, actors, locations, props, vehicles, extras, stunts, horses if you have them, any animals, any element that's in there, you would extract it. You would create a breakdown, like a general breakdown, and then you schedule it. So you have to put it into order. In order to schedule, there's like a formula that you use. So you keep the actors together. Obviously, you keep the locations together because you don't want to have to leave a location, come back to a location, because the time it takes to light, you don't want to do that twice. So once you've lit a room, you want to stay in that room for as long as you can. You shoot out all the scenes in that room, and then you can leave. You know, you never come back, or you try not to come back. A lot of the time, or there have been times where an actor's availability doesn't allow you to do what you do, you know, what you want to do. There's a wish list in scheduling, but it really doesn't work out like that. It's, you get told what limitations you have. We only have this actor for 1 week. We only have this location for 4 days, you know. So you just kind of piece it all together. But like I say, there is a formula that you can use. So you start with the limitations and you build from there. You build backwards.
So a really good example is, like, let's say you're doing a movie and you're in a cafe, and that cafe plays at the beginning of the movie, in the middle of the movie, and at the end of the movie. You don't shoot it in order, right?
No, in script order. You rarely shoot in script order. If you ask a director how you'd like to shoot, of course they'll always want to do script order, but that's never going to happen. You shoot it in order that's best for the budget. The budget steps in for everything.
Right. So the movies you were mentioning that you worked on, those you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, hundreds of millions. Yeah.
Right. And the movies that we're doing are below $3 million.
Sometimes tens of hundreds of dollars.
tens of hundreds of dollars. And our movies are lower. Is there, when you have a movie that's like 16 days or 15 days, do you schedule, does schedule take, I mean, clearly for us, schedule is super important.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you can't get through the movie. But if you're doing a movie for 15 days as opposed to 45 days or 60 days, I mean, what was the longest schedule that you've been on, like in terms of?
3.5 months.
Yeah, so that's an amazing.
And that's pretty standard for a big Hollywood feature, 3.5 months. So typically, and another part of that formula is the page count. Page count's very important. So what we're doing on this is 6-7 pages a day, between 5 and 7. What they would do on a movie of that size, like Edge of Tomorrow or Pirates or Potter, you'd shoot 1, maybe 2 pages a day. Jeez. But that would be 2 easy pages, you know, it'd be like 1/8. So the script is broken down into eighths. So you have each, you know, you have 4/8 of a page is half a script page. One, you know, 8/8 obviously is a page. So you don't want to overdo it. It's difficult because you're constantly trying to find the balance of not overdoing it. You don't want the actors to have to learn 7 pages of script. If you've 4 actors in a scene, then you've got to do the coverage on everything. You have to set that all up. So you have to try and work it out that works best, that flows best. Like the way I think of it when I'm scheduling is what flows best. You don't start in a cafe, say, come outside, go across a park and then back in the same cafe. That doesn't flow. You want to try and find a location and make your way through. You start interior, you come exterior, then you go to the park and everything moves. You never go backwards. You're always going forwards.
That's amazing. Well, you know, it's funny because as a producer, you care about the schedule. You know, you want to make sure that there's a certain amount of pages being done in a day so that you can powerfully tell your story without being rushed all the time. I mean, it's hard to do it with 6 or 7 pages a day.
It's very hard to do with a 16-day shoot. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very complicated, but we do it. We've done it a lot together. Look, if you're listening, I know a lot of you guys are making your own movies. You're trying to make your own movies. Schedule is important on a short, like we did with Beautiful Darkness. It was important to figure out what came first, what came last. But you have to use your assistant director. If you're a director, you have to collaborate with your assistant director to make sure that you're making your days the best and most efficient schedule as possible.
See, yeah, he's probably the most popular guy on the set. No, I'm being serious. Like,
clearly, it's but it's because he has an accent. Let's not kid ourselves.
No, that's, because he has the cool accent.
The accent helps.
We haven't even gotten into his history yet. How he got into the business, the generational.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But everybody goes to him, from Lopez to wardrobe to hair and makeup to everybody looks to him for direction, not direction on the film, no, but direction guidance. On what we're doing next.
Questions.
Where are we going? Yeah. Questions. And you know what? He always has their answers.
What I hate most about that is that Lopez, who's our main actor in this movie, Mario Lopez, will go to him and tell him what time he's showing up.
No,
in the morning.
He doesn't do that. I've been there. He'll say, "Hey Sam, what are you thinking tomorrow? Oh, I'm going to need you on set at 9. Well, that's not going to happen. I'll tell you. I'll get there around 10.
Yeah,
well,
hey, at least he's honest about it.
He asked them.
He's honest.
He'll say, "Hey, what time tomorrow? I need you there about 9. I'm not going to get there at 9. I'll get there around 9:45, 10, but I'll be ready to go by 10:15, 10:30.
But can I tell you something? This is no knock on production. We're doing what we can do. Today, he said, "I'm not going to be there until 11:30 or something. I forgot what time it was.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it was going to be late.
Yeah.
Turns out, it was actually perfect timing.
Yeah.
The car got there, he got there, and we shot, and it was a great day.
Yeah.
But
it was a great day.
Sometimes actors do wait around a long time on set when you have someone like, when you have a legacy actor like Mario who's been around for 40 years, he knows more or less that he doesn't want to wait.
Yeah.
And he cares about his time a lot because he's got various jobs. So in some cases, he may be late. But he's going to give you his 9 hours, and he's going to get you out in time.
And he also knows what we're doing. He also knows the script. He knows how long it's going to take him. He knows if he's prepared or if he's not prepared, and who's in the scenes with him, and if they're prepared as well.
So you more know? Importantly, do you know? Do you know? Are you working with him within what he's saying and doing? Because I don't know. Like, you don't tell me, like, "Hey, this is not good." I don't think you've ever said that to me. I think you've always
performance-wise?
No, I mean in terms of him getting there late getting there on time or whatever.
No, because you can always work around it. Like I said, there's always a workaround. You can always, especially when you're working at this kind of level, where you can adjust and you can shift the goalposts and you can make it work. And, you know, to Tutti's point, when he turns up late, or not late, but later than we may have originally wanted, he arrives ready, set. It's a quick rehearsal, and we're shooting within 15 minutes.
Yeah.
He's not like fussing around or, you know, doing things he shouldn't be doing or has to go and learn his lines. He's ready to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's busy in the morning. I know he's got a routine.
Yeah.
I remember this from the last one. He's got his routine and he's got his other businesses and his other things that he's up to. And I respect him for it. Well, he's the reason we're here.
Yeah.
So it doesn't bother me.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're able to make it work, right?
Good attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's able to make it work. He's able to make it work, right, David?
Always makes it work.
Yeah.
I've never seen it not work with Mario.
Yeah.
Right. But also with Sam.
Yeah, but that's amazing because Sam is a professional.
I mean, you speak to Mario, like, "Listen, we got to get these." You know, if I go up to him and say, "Hey, listen, the sun's going down or lunch is coming up in 20 minutes. I need you on set." Phone's down, he's off. You know, I mean, he's quick. He understands it.
He knows the process.
There was a situation given there tonight. I don't know if I could drop names, but somebody said, "Hey, you know, we're losing time. We're going to go into overtime. It's going to come out of your end." He's like, "Let's roll." We got out of there within like 25, 30 minutes.
Oh, maybe I should use that one.
which was set for like 2 hours, and we got out.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was all him, and he did his job. Like, you know what I mean? He was focused and...
Hey, our choreographer's standing outside. Can you let him in?
No.
He's standing right here.
Okay.
He just wants to be let into the M Lounge.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, so for everyone listening, we're sitting in a lounge in the back end of a Marriott hotel, and it's got a slidey door that not just anyone can get into. Yeah.
And by the way, Sam is doing the podcast after a long day on set.
I know, dude.
It's 11 o'clock right now.
Yeah, it's 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, we worked, how many hours? 9-10 hours? Get a cup. Get a glass somewhere, would you? Yeah, get a glass. So look, if you're listening, we have spent a long day. We have worked with Sam. This is our fourth movie together. I think part of making movies and doing really doing extremely good work is to work with a lot of the same people because they understand you, they understand the actors, they understand the timing.
Yeah,
you end up starting, you get into a rhythm together. And it's sort of important, I think, for films to do that, because it helps everybody sort of feel like they're at home.
Yeah,
and that's the beauty of doing these films together, is that we feel like we're at home. We feel like we're together. But tell us a little bit about your family history and being an AD.
So I started this. My grandfather was an assistant director and a location manager. He used to work on James Bond. He did Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, wow. My God, really?
That's yeah, awesome.
He did. He was a location manager on Indiana Jones.
Wow.
My grandmother was hair and makeup. She worked on a bunch of movies, notably Spies Like Us.
Dude, that's crazy.
I told you.
I had no idea.
I see this fool, yeah. Davey Dave.
And I wanted to interview our choreographer. You were right.
That's coming soon.
Yeah. But
I got suckered into this.
We were being drinking with this guy yesterday. He started going, and I was so pulled in by like his stories.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, it's awesome.
No, this is like a legacy job for you.
Yeah, yeah, it's legacy.
So your whole family's been involved in the business.
Yeah, my
for
whole
years.
Family. Yeah.
His twin
my
brother. Is
my twin brother's a gaffer.
Wait, Fat Sam?
Fat Sam.
Fat Sam.
If he ever finds out.
Of course he's going to find out. It's going to come out. He's not Fat Sam. He's just a little fluffy
no,
Sam.
No, he's a fluffy
he's
Sam.
He's husky.
He's bigger Sam.
He's bigger Sam.
No, he's Fat Sam.
No, but continue, because this is awesome.
Yeah,
this,
so my grandfather was in there. So my grandfather, when he was 30, he got in the industry through his neighbor who was looking for a third AD. He used to be a publican, owned a pub. And they were like, hey, I'm working on this movie. We're looking for guys like you. And that's how he got in. So he started when he was 30-something, which is late to get into the industry, really. And then he got my grandmother on. He worked on Eyes Wide Shut. What else did he do? He did loads of stuff. Then he got my uncle a job, and my uncle was a first AD. And that's how I got into Alexander. He was a first AD on second unit. And so he took me on. And then he went on to do Doctor Who for 12 years, I think.
Wow.
The TV show, and he became a producer. My dad's an AD. He started that's off cool, in camera. He worked on The Labyrinth. That's his, like,
wow.
His favorite, his big movie. Yeah, like I say, my brother is a gaffer. He's been working with James Friend, who won the Oscar last year. They've been collaborating together. They do every job together. He's out in Prague doing a super secret show that I can't tell you about, but I told these guys yesterday.
You told us all about
secret.
It. You were wasted. You're like, hey, my brother's doing a secret movie. Tell me what you think. We're like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Don't say nothing though.
Yeah, so it is. It's a family affair. It's a family affair.
So first of all, it's amazing. Second of all, now you're here in the United States. You got married.
Married, yeah.
Right? You're married. You're living in Vegas.
Yep.
And in addition to ADing movies, you're also a director.
Well, I just did my first commercial, yeah.
which we watched, really, and was pretty amazing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
wasn't bad.
First,
yeah,
it was good.
But
badass.
You have a company. What's the name of your company?
Commonwealth
in Nevada.
Yeah, in Las Vegas.
So
with
if
Gemma
you're
Jones.
Doing, yeah, if you're doing commercials, or if you're doing a movie, or if you're doing any kind of media,
yeah.
Call this company.
Yeah, what's yeah, yeah. Come check us out. Commonwealth Productions in Las Vegas.
Commonwealth Productions in Las Vegas. They can direct, they can produce, they can do it all.
Yeah, we
right?
write everything. We do it all.
You write it too?
Yeah, we wrote it. I wrote it.
Wow.
Directed it. Yeah, we've got a short film that we're going to do with our guy, Ryan Galvin. Galvan.
Ryan Galvan.
Has he been on this yet?
Are you drunk?
Triana.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
He's been on twice.
And see, it's hard to remember, Sam. We've been doing this for 4 years. This yeah. podcast.
This is our fifth season.
Wow.
Yeah, this is our fifth season. But yeah, so you're now writing, you're directing, you're doing your own thing. I want to use you as a director. It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Right? To use him as a director on these Christmas movies or even thrillers or...
Well, he understands the whole process. He's been... It's in his blood.
Yeah.
Literally, it's in his blood. It's in his DNA.
I've also been doing it since I was 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and you know, I'm 35. No, I'm not.
You know what's crazy, though? I'm going to say this. And, you know, again, a lot of the people listening want to do their own movies, have done their own movies, are doing movies. But the exciting thing about working with someone like Sam is, like, he cares so much about what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's heartwarming to see, like, someone that cares about the script as much as we do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when I went to do my Netflix film, which I wasn't able to bring you guys along on, I remember meeting with an I remember meeting with a bunch of ADs and being and just thinking to myself, I want someone who understands the script. I don't want someone who's looking at their clock, at their watch all the time.
Yeah.
And I remember I went through a bunch of ADs and I finally found someone who was talking to me about the story.
Yeah.
About you have to get this part right. You have to get this emotional beat right, right? An AD saying that, and I was like, you're the guy.
Yeah.
Because that's what Sam does. Sam will get up on a ladder for an important part if we don't have an extra or something, or he'll say like, no, we need to take our time with this. This is really important.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people in the business do. So if you're looking for an AD and you're trying to find someone, find a partner. Find someone who's going to make your project better.
Well, like we were talking yesterday, and it's all about collaboration. Like there's people on sets who've been there for 10, 20 years. Like a gaffer, you were saying.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
Like, let you get as like coming from a director standpoint. Yes, it's your vision, all that stuff. But think about the people around you. Think about the experiences they've had, what they've gone through, and ask questions. You know, like say, what do you think of this? Sam's going to have plenty of ideas that he's gone through. He worked on In Bruges, one of my favorite movies.
I haven't heard of that movie.
Yeah. No, you'd like
it's amazing. Yeah, it's really, really cool. Every time I go to a small town, I think of In Bruges. You know, so good. But it's a collaboration.
It's a massive collaboration. I mean, we're sitting here, like Spencer Liff is here too. Like he's not on a mic, but he's our choreographer. He's been with us for two movies.
Yeah.
He's got to collaborate with the AD.
Yeah.
He's got to figure out, you know, how to make it happen. Yeah. You know what was funny today? We had our still photographer here from GAC, the company that's funding all this. And, you know, she was in there getting her shots, you know, because that's important, too. Like, everyone has...
Oh, she's from GAC?
Yeah. Weren't you putting her in there? Well, yeah, go ahead and do your thing.
Yeah, yeah, no, I spoke to her about it. She was like, hey, I asked her if she was getting the shot she needs, and she said no. And I said, well, do you want to just pass for yourself? And she said, yeah, I'd love to. And then we ended up taking the camera off Steadicam and going on the floor, which gave her that freedom to spray away.
But see how important that is. What we're talking about is that there was a still photographer who's shooting pictures of our finale.
Yeah.
That she's going to then pass on. That may end up being the poster of the movie.
Yeah.
Like if your AD doesn't allow that to happen, like if you don't give her space to do it, then you don't get it. You know, it's all really. Everyone's job is important, and the AD is the only one who sees everybody doing their thing. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
Last looks, Sam.
Well, we're all bees in the same hive, aren't we? We all want the same outcome.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we don't want it to be shit.
Right.
And that's like that's it, right? And you say you care. I care because if I see something I think it looks shit, then you step in and you say something. You have to. You can't just let something fly. You know, I'm not there just to take a paycheck. Yeah. I don't want to turn around at the end of the day and just go, oh, yeah, you know, take my money and run. No, I want it to be decent or as decent as it can be, given that you've got 16 days to shoot a movie, which is when I first came to this country and somebody told me that, I laughed in their face. So, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
And now I've done seven of them. So it can happen.
Seven of them.
That's a crazy thing, though. Like that is a crazy thing. You came from movies that shoot for three, four months.
Jeez.
And you're doing films
the shortest was 6 weeks. They were like the low budget. And I say low budget, I'm talking like 4 or 5 million, 6 million, low budget, 6 week shoot, usually 6 days a week, which are brutal. And then, I came here and started doing 16 days. You know, and we achieved this. I mean, it's not quite as cinematic. Maybe you don't have time to put down the track and you've got Dolly and anything that takes time is always a problem, but you can always work that out. I mean, if you have a DP that wants a shot with a track and it'll take time, then you can set that up whilst you're doing something else. The camera always has to be rolling.
Yeah.
That's the key. Yeah. Whatever is happening in the background is whatever happens in the background. But the camera has to always be rolling. You have to always be doing something. If it's not shooting this, you're setting up for that, or you're rehearsing. You can always find time. Or find stuff to fill time if you're waiting, you know?
Who's the best director you ever worked with?
I shot that thing yesterday for you on an iPhone, remember? Remember in the bar, we were drunk.
I don't remember that. No. Is there different types of directors?
Yeah, there's different. If you've got a director on a movie like this, I mean, to go back to Jodie or...
Jodie Hahn?
Jodie Hahn, I've never... She edited in her head as we shot the master. So once we set the master up, and for any of you that don't know, you always shoot the wide first and then you go in, and then you've got the master and you use that master to base everything off your continuity, etc. And when we would shoot the master with her, she would work out what she needed in that. It wasn't worked out with a pen and paper the night before based off of a script, because what you have scripted and what you shoot don't always line up. Yeah. It's not the same. So she would sit there and she'd be like, okay, so she walks in here, we've got the wide, we'll go into for her close-up and we can spin around, and I just need his close-up for this last bit, for this beat. But I don't really, I can just play the rest out here and I can do a two-shot. Okay, so this is what you're on, and you go through it so really quick.
She had no shot list?
I mean, I don't remember her having a shot list. Yeah. David Kendall had a shot list.
Yeah.
And he was, I mean, that man was another great director. He was organized. Every night he went back to his room. He works out his shots. And every day we were doing 9-10 hour days.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we ever did a full day on that.
No, we were all having dinner at new places. Yeah. Yeah. We had time for a tornado.
Yeah, that's right. Tornadoes in 3 weeks.
Three tornadoes in 3 weeks. And in Santa Fe, we all made it to the bar before happy hour.
That's right.
And that's true.
Every night. That was Jody Hahn. Thank you, Jody.
Yeah, that was. That was Jody.
Yeah. Yeah. Who was the first? Oh, Melissa.
Melissa Joan Hart was very good, too.
Melissa, she taught me a really good trick. For these 16-day shoots, there's all these little tricks that you know. And what Melissa would do, she would hold the sides, which are the small scripts that pertain to what you're shooting in a day. And whenever she got a clean line of dialogue on camera, by seeing the actor's face, whether it was in their close-up or not, she would put a line through that, a pen line through the dialogue in the sides. So she knew she got it. So if we ran out of time, which happens, you run out of time. There's only 12 hours in a day, right? And you can't control that. The sun's going to go down whether you like it or not. So you have to fit around that, and you have to work. Like, you have to really know about time. So what she would do, she'd put a line through the dialogue. So if I was like, look, Melissa, we've got 15 minutes till lunch, or, you know, we've got to move on, or the sun's going down, whatever, she'd look at her sides and she'd go, well, I've got all dialogue on camera, so we can, anything else is just fluff.
Wow, that's great.
I have
that's
the smart. Bare bones. Great it was trick. such a neat little trick.
Yeah. I'm stealing that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of all those directors. I mean, I think they all did great. I saw them all direct for camera, and they had to know, right? Because there was when you do for camera, you know, like, your angles. But yeah, working with all of them was amazing. I like Jodie Hahn a lot. Like, I'm a big fan of working with her. I'd like to do another movie with her, but she's so busy doing all that.
Hit television.
I think that was her first film, right?
Shout out to Jody.
Wasn't that her first film? Feature?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
I was really nervous calling her. I remember when I called her and offered her like the position, and, you know, I was just nervous. I thought there's no way she's going to take it, and she did.
Because I talked to her about it, and it was her first film. We had her on the podcast.
And it was a good experience. I forgot she was.
We had Kendall on the podcast. You forgot about that, too.
Oh, you did? You had both of them?
Yeah, we had both of them on. Yeah, it was a good episode.
You know, both those guys, they smiled every day. They always had fun. You could tell that they were enjoying it.
Yeah.
And so that takes the owner, like, shit rolls downhill, right? So if a director's in a really bad place mentally, everyone else is going to feel it.
Like Jeff Stearns.
Yeah.
He cares a lot about the project. Don't break his balls.
No, yeah,
he does.
How was the director for In Bruges?
Mike McDonough was a nice guy. He was a nice guy. Yeah, a little...
Was he the one who directed the two plays at the West End?
Yeah, he was the first person, other than Shakespeare, to have two plays at the West End before he's 28.
That's a talent right there.
Yeah, that guy can spit out scripts like he doesn't even think about it. I mean, I was telling you last night, when we went to In Bruges, the hotel that we filmed In Bruges in was the room that he stayed in when he wrote it.
Wow.
So he wrote that whole hotel. He went out there. He went out there twice. He went out there once. He wrote the first draft. 6 weeks later, he finished it. He got a shooting script in 6 weeks, which is wild to shoot, do a movie like that. He went back out there and buttoned it all up, and then we all flew out there and filmed it. Actually, we didn't fly. I got the train. But
How many days was that? I was living in London.
Do you know, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you. I remember that the only car we had on set was for Colin Farrell. Everyone else had a bike.
Yeah.
So you'd wrap, And we'd all go back to, we'd all cycle our bikes back to the, production gave everyone a bike. We'd all cycle our bikes back to the unit base. We'd see everyone out and then we'd all cycle the bikes to the pub.
Yeah.
And then we'd go to the pub and ride. And Colin Farrell used to come in and buy us all rounds because he was sober then.
Yeah.
He had Harvey Keitel's sponsor. Yeah. I want to say his name was Andre. He was a super cool dude. And he'd come in and buy everyone a drink and he'd leave. Which I thought was really honorable.
Lopez does that.
Yeah, for sure.
He'd never done anything like that in his life.
Sorry, who? No, exactly.
And yeah. In fact, in Santa Fe, he would be like, it would be, we'd have all that time off. He'd go to dinner, and then I'd get a phone call going, hey, come to dinner with us, right? Yeah. And he'd show up and be like, hey, you going to pay for the dinner?
No,
then,
off the top.
Yeah, off the top. Oh, my God. That was the most expensive. That was the most expensive.
Oh, yeah, Roberts would pay it. It was great. I was there, too. I was like, hey, Roberts, off the top, right?
No, not off the top. So look.
Off the top.
As people move through their business of figuring out what they want to do, what is an AD a good step to becoming a director?
No, I don't think it is.
So if people are thinking about being AD, about being an AD, what is where should they expect to end up?
With an AD, the usual course is you become a UPM after that, and then you go on to become a producer. You could skip UPM, but your production AD is the bridge between the art, if you will, directors, actors, script writers, and production. When it comes down to money, money is paramount, right? Money means everything. You can have as many ideas as you want, but if you can't afford them, they're gone.
Yep.
So the AD has to find that balance, that bridge. So if you want to be a director, and I say this to a lot of people, like young guys, just go and direct. As I was saying, I'm a writer, but you haven't written anything. Well, you're not a writer until you've written something. Yep. So you're not a director until you've directed something. Go outside and just make something. Make it with your buddies. Shoot it on your iPhone. They're capable. You've got 4K on a phone nowadays. You can do it. You don't need much nowadays.
No.
You know, you can just go out there and just make something. If you want to be an AD, which very rare do I meet people that want to be an AD. they're usually actors that have failed and they fell into the industry and just happened to follow the AD path. The only thing I can say, a good friend of mine, he's a big first AD, did... he did Cats, he did Danish Girl, he did Mary Poppins, the new one, like big first. So I asked him, I said, what advice would you give yourself when you first did? And he was like, you can't control a crew, you can guide the ship. If you try and push it, you're gonna break down. You can only give your opinion and your ideas and let them take it. If they don't want to take your ideas and you're right, then you can sit there smugly. But if you try and control it and push everything properly, it's never going to work. Mm. That's like part of the collaboration.
Yeah.
You know, this, that, to and fro. I think this would work. Let's shoot it in this order. Director turns around and says, nah, we're not doing it. I want to shoot it like that. Fine, you're the boss. The directors are the boss. An AD, assistant director, the clue is in the name. You're an assistant director. You know, you don't, although you do have a lot of power, if you will, and you have a lot of control, you're not the ultimate. There's always someone above you. So if you know, it's the thing with AD. I know a lot of ADs get frustrated with that they feel like they know better. You know, like you were saying, Tilly, I was talking about somebody with experience.
Yep.
You have a director, and this came from the conversation we had. When I get directors that come in from LA, from Vegas, you know, to Vegas, and they're 27 years old, and they think they know it, and they're hot shit, they got a beret and a fucking scarf, and, you know, and they come in, and I'm like, and they thought, well, we're going to do that, and like I said to you, it's like, you got a grip, he's been in the industry 35 years, or a camera guy's done 20 years, ask them, have you ever done anything like this, what would you recommend? Yeah. Nobody ever asks for advice. And I don't know why they don't. I think it's like an ego thing. But I think asking advice is very, very helpful.
Yeah.
You know what? That's good advice.
Great advice.
Yeah. Yeah. See, lean on the people around you. Like, there's a lot of heads, a lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's why you got to listen to me, Roberts. When I said, let's have Sam. I'm like, nah, not Sam. I go, Sam.
Yeah. People with knowledge.
Knowledge.
So, as you... You know, we've worked on a couple of films with music and dancing and stuff like that. Do you think, I personally think that dancing and music is the least of the issues in a schedule. Because every time we do dance or singing, it seems to be the thing that moves the fastest.
Yeah, well, there's only so many ways you can skin a cat, right?
I guess so.
And if you have a steady cam and you have it, you know, Spencer's sitting over to our right, when you have it lined up like he has, and you already have everything planned in your head, it's just a case of getting the camera where you want. I mean, you know the beats of the dance, you know where this should be and where that's going to play out, what direction. And it's just a case of getting the camera in there to capture it. Yep. And you don't have to, and you can't expect an actor or a dancer, certainly an actor that dances, to be dancing for 3 hours.
Right.
You can't. And they're just not going to do it. They're just going to fade. I mean, if you're a professional dancer and you're fit, you know, like I asked Spencer the other day, how many hours can I get these dancers to dance? And you're like, that's not an issue. And I was like, you know, for me, you'd get 20 minutes and I'd be out of breath. But
would you be smoking a cigarette while you're dancing?
I don't smoke. Normally.
So that's not an issue. I think if you're making a movie that has dance or singing in it, just remember it's not going to be a massive part of your schedule because they just can't dance that long.
No, you can't. Not if they're not. I mean, unless they're professionally trained dancers and they're fit as a fiddle.
Yeah.
But if they're not fit as a fiddle, you have
but
to.
But still, even then, dance and shows like that only last 90 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, maximum. I mean, you've got a three-minute song, right? That's what we have. We have a 2.5-minute song. Well, it's a 2.5-minute take. You know, how many times do you need to shoot that?
Yeah.
You shoot that 10 times. You know, it's all math, right? It's basic math.
Yeah.
This is what I was saying. We were talking about the page count. It's basic math. 96 pages divided by 16. That's your day count, your page count. Yeah. And whenever you steal from that to add to other days, and other days go up, it's that fine balance.
It's an amazing thing, production. Production's an amazing thing because it takes so many people to do it, and there's so much love and energy that goes into what we're up to. And it's just neat to, you know, when, like, for instance, the other day it was raining.
Pouring.
It was pouring. We had dancers. We had Spencer, our choreographer. We had our director. We had everyone wanting to get the day done, but there was just no control over the weather.
None.
And people were wet, and people were miserable, and people were cold.
Muddy.
And it was muddy, and we wanted it to work, and somehow we got through the day. We got everything we wanted. A lot of it had to do with you and making sure that that people were coming out and in the right place, and Spencer getting the dancers, although the dancers were like happy to be dancing, they didn't care.
They were all smiles.
Yeah, they didn't care if it was raining or not. But it's an exciting thing, you know, when we're all out there. I mean, I compare it to being at war, right? We all get our suits of armor on in the morning, and we come out to battle. And today was one of the most beautiful days.
Yeah,
in a long time. It was an easy battle. We didn't have to, you know, no one got killed.
Yeah, no one rolled ankles.
No one rolled ankles. It was a great day.
Yeah, no scenes matched from the snowy, rainy days that we shot the other day.
Right, but you don't care. You don't care, right? No. You're like, you know what?
But the attitude's high. Everyone's having a good time.
Everyone was having a good time. No, it's exciting.
You can VFX that though, Roberts. You can put some snow in some of these.
You really can't, but you know, they're just not going to match, but a lot of movies do that. You know, even
you'd never know.
Even huge budget, even huge budget movies don't always match, right?
Yeah.
You can't control the weather. But no, look, it's a pleasure to work with someone who cares as much as you do. It really is. I got to, if I haven't said it before, I'm saying it now. It's a pleasure to work with you. It's a pleasure to know how much you care about us and about the movies you work on and the people that you work with. And that's what the business is about. Yeah. It's about not only about doing the work, but about caring about the people, caring about making good movies, and you know, you're leaving a legacy.
Like, yeah, and have fun. Have fun
and
doing it.
Have a good time.
Like our crew today were telling me, this is one of the best sets they've been on. They usually work on these TV stuff around here in Chicago, and they're just getting whipped into shape. Nobody has fun.
Yeah,
it's a nightmare. You know. So enjoy yourself. If you enjoy yourself, if you keep morale up, I'm a big fan of morale. If you can keep morale up,
yeah,
then people are willing to work. It's when you're rude or nasty, you get these ADs or directors that shits to everyone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, you know, you've got the AD coming up, I need a favor. And I'm like, screw you, I ain't doing you no favors. Right. I'm clocking out at 6 o'clock. But if you look after the crew and you all have fun, and you say, listen, guys, I need a favor from you. I need this. And they go, you got it. I'll look after you. Yeah. And they do. They look after you. Yeah. Our G&E team, they've been great, you know. Yeah. I spoke to them about it tonight. I was saying, we've got a medic, his first day, he says, the calmest films that I've ever been on. I was like, what's that?
No, but we do.
It is. It's about having fun. Just have fun.
But yeah. I know everybody trusts you on set. So that's true. That's a huge thing.
Yeah, maybe. And you
make
I don't
yourself
know.
Available. So that's
I do make myself
huge.
Available.
That's huge.
I don't know about the trust thing. Maybe they should they should assess that.
Well, if you're thinking about being an AD, you know, it's a great job. It's a great position. You help a production sort of get through, you know, the days, and you're a big part of making sure that the script all gets done within the time period that it should be done with. So if you're thinking about doing that, you know, DGA and is a great place to get trained. They have a lot of programs at DGA.
They have an excellent training program, actually, especially if you're in New York or LA. I think if you're third area, which is basically everything between New York and LA, you should look into it. But if you're LA-based or New York-based, look into the trainee system that they have. They'll find you the work. You'll go through the route, you know, go up. And listen, you can earn a lot of money as an AD.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money out there. You get on the bigger movies, I mean, you know, the $300 million jobs as a first AD, I mean, you're smooth sailing, honestly. Yeah. I mean, you'll put the work in.
Yeah.
But
it's a good gig, and you have to consider the idea that, yeah, being a director's cool, being a producer's cool, being an actor's cool, but being an AD is pretty cool too. Being a line producer is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Being a production coordinator is cool. You know, being a location manager is cool. There's all kinds of cool jobs out there. But Sam's an AD. He comes from a family of ADs. He's worked on some huge movies. He's working on smaller movies. He's directing.
I prefer the smaller movies.
Yeah. Remind people of your company again out of Nevada.
Commonwealth.
Commonwealth Productions. If you are doing stuff in Nevada, go to Sam. Go to Commonwealth Productions. Check it out. And then I want to end with thanking our sponsor, extrememusic.com.
Well, Sam's a director, so have you heard of extrememusic.com?
Have you? Oh my God, you haven't heard of extrememusic.com? This is crazy. All right, so every movie we do, all of the music, all of the needle drop, all of the special songs. Do you remember when Jana? Do you watch our movies? When
yeah.
Done? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
No. The reason Mark asked me that is because I one time maybe had a couple of drinks and confessed that I rarely watch the movies I work on.
Right.
And I have seen, I watched Steppin.
Right.
That was the first movie I ever watched that I'd worked on.
In Steppin, there's a scene with Jana where she's dancing by herself. Right in the studio,
yeah.
And Spencer loves this scene. And she's dancing, you know, on her own, and then Mario comes to the window, sees her, touches the glass, knocks on it,
which was all faked,
right?
Which was a different window.
You know what's crazy?
CGI'd that reflection on it on the other window.
You know what's crazy about that is here's a producer mind, right? I had no idea that was possible. When we, you and I and all of us were up in Colombia, and we found that location, and you and David were like, oh, yeah, we'll do it right here.
That was Galvin. That wasn't me. That was all Galvin.
I was like, there's no fucking way we're going to do this scene right here and like in the middle of nowhere when the actual place is going to be, right?
Yeah.
I didn't understand.
So it was like 30 miles away.
Yeah, I didn't understand how we were going to cheat that.
Yeah, that was
all
Galvin.
But I trusted. I said, fine. You guys want to do it here? It's fine. Anyway, that scene was fine, but then I decided I needed to find the right song for her to dance to because it was not set. So then I went to extrememusic.com and I sat there, and it's this website that that collects all of these composers from all over the world, and they put their music on the site, and you can license it for a fraction of the cost.
Like and, the Spotify and, for...
Yeah, kind of thing, for movies, for commercials and stuff. So I went on there, I found that song and many other songs that are in the, every movie I've, we've ever done.
Yeah.
We get from extrememusic.com. Anyway, extrememusic.com for all your music needs, for your movies, for your commercials, for whatever you need, and it's at a fraction of the cost. So if you can't afford a composer, go to extrememusic.com.
That's great.
Hans Zimmer is a partner in that company. It's owned by Sony. It has the best composers from all over the world. And if you spend, if you need a special song, you can spend an hour on that site and find it. And that's where I found a lot of the music for our movie.
Hmm. Didn't know that.
Every movie we work on. So
extrememusic.com?
That's correct. Right. Thanks for saying that. Wow, you said welcome. It really well, too. Extrememusic.com.
I'm Googling it right now.
Extrememusic.com. It'll be all over this movie and all over anything we do, right, guys?
Yeah. Right. That's right. Thanks, Russ.
Hey, thanks, Russ Emanuel, for sponsoring us. We're very happy to be connected with you and to be partners with you. And we're looking forward to season 6. We're in season 5 right now.
Yeah.
And Sam, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you,
Bob. Hey, you're very welcome.
I think a lot of people would be excited to hear about how to, you know, what you do as an AD. I don't think we've ever had an AD on the show, right?
No, this is the first one. And what an exciting one to have.
Yeah.
Look at the history here.
Yeah, thanks.
Amazing. All right,
and
buddy.
And then, I don't know, do you guys have like a, do people email the show or anything?
Sometimes, yeah.
If any, so this thing about AD and the way I learned was by getting into trouble and getting shouted at. And nobody ever teaches anyone how to be an AD. I think mostly because it's down to job security and everyone's scared that someone's going to take their job. But if any of you have any questions, and I say this a lot to the guys at the university, email this mob. They'll forward it on. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have about how, why, or what, or, you know, is it worth it? Yeah, I'm absolutely serious. If you have any questions, email these guys. They'll forward it on to me. I'll get in touch with you.
That's or awesome. Or you can send it on...
IG. Yeah. Slide in the DM.
Slide into the DM.
A lot of DM sliding going on out here.
All right, Sam. Well, thanks for being on the show.
You're very welcome.
Thank you guys all for listening. We'll see you guys next time on...
Film Hustlers.
Film Hustlers.
Thanks, buddy.
What a great guest. I told you, Robert.
Thanks, Sam. You were right. I suggested we...
Have you done it yet?